You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Romans 10. I want to really continue along the lines of healing. We taught on healing miracles Sunday, how that nothing, that God does the impossible. And boy, what a miracle in Travis's life. Actually, we based that on Romans 8:11. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He'll quicken or make alive your mortal body. And so there was an organ that basically was dead, you know, Travis's liver. The doctor said it wasn't functioning, it wasn't working, couldn't get blood flowing through it, as it were. And they were going to put him on a liver transplant list. And you know the story. We preached this Sunday. And the doctors gave him like 6 months to live. That was it. We were there. Brent and I were there when the doctors came in. All the family was there. And, you know, they 6 to 12, you know, and he outlived that.
Yeah. Amen.
It was May of last year. And, you know, and had some tremendous opposition just the last couple of months. I mean, some real serious things. Care flighted him to the hospital in Baylor. He had a heart attack and uncontrollably throwing up. And twice that happened, took him back again. In the midst of all this, God resurrects that liver. It's so awesome. You know, and several liver doctors, I mean, they had several doctors and liver specialist doctor confirmed that. That's not just, we're not just saying we believe that. Of course, we believe that. We're standing on that. But they've actually confirmed that with not just one, but several doctors. And that's what that testimony was about. So that was just awesome. But I was still stirred up about healing. But I want to hit this a little differently tonight. This is a word that some of you have heard if you've been in our church for many years. I've taught on it before. We're doing a little word study. Everybody say word study.
Word study.
Okay, in this case, we're talking about a specific Greek word that is translated saved. Everyone say saved.
Saved.
Romans 10:9. You should know this one. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a classic verse on eternal life, on salvation, on going to heaven, on being born again, becoming a Christian. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Let's say it together. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
All right. I believe, let's say this,
I believe
that God has raised Jesus from the dead.
That God has raised Jesus from the dead.
And I confess Jesus as Lord. All right. Now, you did what that scripture says, and according to that scripture, if you did that, and you did, I heard you, you will be saved. And we all quote that, and we share that if we're witnessing to someone or ministering to someone about how to receive Jesus and how to be saved. Many times we'll use this verse. It's a classic verse on leading someone to the Lord. And what do I do? How do I get saved? What do I do? Well, here's a good verse right here. Do you believe Jesus has been raised from the dead? And they say, yes. Okay, great. Would you like to receive him now and accept him? Sure. Would you confess him with me? I confess Jesus as Lord. Well, right there, according to that verse, you're saved. Not deep, not complicated, it's real simple. Amen? But that word saved is a bigger word than we often give it credit for. It's a small word, but it's dynamite comes in small packages. This word, it's sozo. If you transliterate it, it's S-O-Z-O. Sozo. Everybody say sozo?
Sozo.
Kind of pronounced like a D-Z, sozo, sozo. But you'd spell it out S-O-Z-O. And actually what it means is more than just eternal life or forgiveness of sins. It means deliverance. It means protection. It means healing. And it was translated that way in many cases in the New Testament. And that's what's so fascinating about this. So we're not talking about my take on it or my opinion about this or International Outreach Church's take on it. This is just what the word is. This same word is used in other cases in the New Testament. And we know for a fact that when it was used, it's translated healed. And even from the context of it, we know a healing took place. So, when we find out that Jesus saves us, look at the 13th verse. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you believe that? Okay. We often share that with people when they're getting saved too. We'll say, well, did you call on Jesus' name? Yes, I did. Well, according to Scripture, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right there, Romans 10:13. Man, that's two great verses on eternal life, isn't it? And Romans 10:9 and Romans 10:13. But there again is that same word, sozo. And the word means more than just being forgiven. It means more than just going to heaven. It means that, but it means more than that. So if you just translate the word in all of its meanings or nuances or hues or shades or colors, Somewhere I'm going to get you there, one of those. You got it? Okay. If you just translated in all of its different meanings, then it would mean this: whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, protected, delivered, healed, set free. Yeah. Woo. Now, you did that when you got saved, became a Christian. You called on the Lord. You realized that you couldn't do this thing without Him, that you needed help, that you weren't going to go to heaven on your own, you weren't good enough, you couldn't pay the price, but the price had been paid, and someone had already paid it for you, and they were waiting on you to call. And you called on Jesus to get what you could not have gotten any other way. You got saved. Well, I'd submit to you in life, there's a lot of situations you come into that you come up short. A lot of situations in life, you don't have what it takes to make it through this case, this situation, this circumstance, this tragedy, this crisis. It might be physical. It might be emotional. It might be financial. But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. Shall be protected. Shall be delivered. Shall be healed. Boy, y'all are excited about this. I can tell you, this just really flipped your switch. I can tell already. But you know how excited you got or you get thinking about being saved. Ah, Lord, how great that is, and how confident you are in that you call on Jesus, and Jesus has done what you couldn't do, and He promised He'd do it. Hallelujah. But we need to build that confidence. We need to build that same faith concerning other matters in our life that He has given us promises on. Okay, turn with me, Matthew. Matthew 1, we'll just start right there. Start in the first chapter. This is a real simple scripture, Matthew 1, 21. Along the same lines, generally just talking about salvation in general. Matthew 1, 21. And speaking of Mary, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Sozo, same word. Thank God He saved us from our sins. He didn't just save us from the penalty of our sins. He saved us from our sins. Isn't that good? So I'm not just saved from the consequence of it. I don't have to go to hell. Praise God, I know that. But I also have been saved from my sins. I can get delivered from my sins. So if my sin was lying, I can quit lying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm here to set y'all free. Y'all can quit lying. Jesus came to save you from lying. So He saved us from our sins. He delivered us from them because they held us in bondage. See, they held us in their captivity. And so He delivered us from them. That's what salvation means. It means to set us free from something. See, deliver us from it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus does. Now turn over to the 8th chapter of Matthew. We're going to go through several scriptures if you have your Bible. And in every one of these scriptures that I'm going to turn to, if you happen to be writing notes, every one of them are using the same Greek word. And you have to realize the New Testament was written in Greek. Basically, it was written in Greek. You know, I believe Matthew might have been written in Hebrew first and translated into Greek. But nonetheless, most of the New Testament was written in Greek. So what we have here is a translation. I'm reading out of New King James Version. You might have a King James. You might have a New International Version. You might be reading Amplified. Those are all translations of the New Testament. But the New Testament was written originally in Greek. So if you were to read all of these verses we're reading, every one of them would just say sozo in the Greek. You'll see that? Every one of them, because I picked out these particular verses, they only have that word sozo. Now, it's been translated many different ways, but because it has such a full, rich meaning. But if you think that Jesus just saves you and that's it, you're going to heaven, you're forgiven your sin, that's all that salvation means, then you're mistaken, because that word means more than that. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved just means I'm going to be forgiven and go to heaven. No. That means more than that. Because that Greek word, saved, is a very rich, full word. 8th chapter of Matthew. Found it? Chapter 8. I might have to get my teeters on here. As I heard someone say one time, I just wear them for appearance. Things appear when I wear them. Hallelujah. Notice this in the I won't give the whole story, just in a synopsis. The disciples went out in a boat, and Jesus fell asleep, and they had a storm come by, and they're about to go under, you know. 25th verse, 8th chapter. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing. Now, Jesus didn't wake up and said, okay, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven. Went back to sleep. They weren't talking about going to heaven. Are you with me? They weren't talking about getting their sins forgiven right then. They said, save us, meaning deliver us from this trial, this crisis here. And he says, why are you so fearful, you little faith? And he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He delivered them. But that's called saving them. Okay? So if you're in a crisis, storm, whatever, you know, according to this verse, you could call on the name of the Lord and he'd save you. Well, I don't know that he would. Well, it says he would. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We just read that in Romans 10:13, didn't we?
Yeah.
And they said, Lord, save us. And they weren't talking about forgiveness of sins. They were talking about protection. Isn't that correct? And that's the very same word translated. He saved us from our sins, and translated, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word is a very rich word. It's full of meaning here.
Amen.
So if you're ever in a crisis, you know what you can do? You can call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, how do you know you are saved then? Because if we know we're going to heaven because he told us that in Romans 10:9. Isn't that right?
Right.
I mean, you go back to it, you look at it, you can see it, you can read it for yourself. It's right there. It's God's word. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's what God says. And we know we're going to heaven because we've done what he said. We have called on the name of the Lord. 13th verse, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, in a crisis, if you ever get in a crisis, maybe you'll never get in one. You know. But if you happen to, or maybe your neighbor does, and you could tell them this message, then you could actually ask God to save you, not meaning forgive you, not meaning take you to heaven, but deliver you from the crisis. And he would, because that's what he does. He would sozo you. You could even say, Lord, sozo me. Hello. And that's exactly what he did. Look at the ninth chapter while we're in Matthew. We'll just hang around Matthew a while. Let's hang out with Matthew. What do you say? This instant, in fact, this is the account of Jairus coming to Jesus and concerning his daughter. And then the woman with the issue of blood coming up behind and getting healed. Remember that? We read that account in Mark, the 5th chapter Sunday. Well, this is Matthew's account, same story in Matthew. And so really it's the same deal. 18th verse, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died. Now this case says he died. Now in Mark's case it says she's sick. Come lay your hands on her and she shall live. But even here it says, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. Even then, even knowing he... whether he knew ahead of time or not, he believed that Jesus would raise her from the dead. We know that. Amen? Amen. So he's on his way with Jairus. Jesus rose, followed him, and so did his disciples. 20th verse, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now, Mark's account says a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years had been to many physicians, spent all that she had, was none better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched the hem of his garment, for she said... 21st verse. For she said to herself, I love that. Man, I can just preach a sermon on that. She said to herself, what are you saying to yourself? I mean, we say all kinds of things to everybody else. What are you saying to yourself? What do you say when you look in that mirror in the morning? What do you say to yourself? I tell you, most of our problem is what we say to ourselves. We keep a pretty good talk around everybody else, but you know, we walk away and we start talking down to ourselves. We start talking defeat to ourselves, talking about how no good we are, we'll never get this thing right, blah, blah, and yada, yada, and man, here we go. Maybe you don't say blah, blah, and yada, yada, but I mean, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. You say to yourself the wrong things. It's very important you say to yourself the right thing. That's what meditation is. See, it's just talking to yourself. That's what that Hebrew word, haggah, where it says meditate, in his law shall he meditate day and night, in Psalms the first chapter, and also Joshua the first chapter, where God told Joshua to meditate in the word day and night. That word meditate means to talk to oneself. In fact, it's that's a good word study there. Don't have time getting that, but you go through the Old Testament and look where that word's translated. Many times it's translated to speak, say. With your mouth, speak. It's translated that way in Proverbs and Psalms. Okay. So she said to herself, Got to love it. Said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Everybody say made well.
Made well.
King James says made whole. Anybody got another translation that says anything other than that? I will be healed. You know what word that is? Oh, take a guess. Come on. Sozo. Same word. It's the same word translated, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Matthew 1:21. Same word over there in Matthew 8:25 that we just read a while ago. Is that what we read? Yeah, Matthew 8:25. When he delivered them, sozoed them. She was wanting to be sozoed. Okay? That's what she's wanting. And she knew that if she could get to Jesus, she could get sozoed. Are you with me? So, you know, to say that Jesus saves us, well, of course he does. That means more than just forgive my sins. That also means he heals me. That also means he protects me. That also means he delivers me. To say that when I call on him, he saves me, that does mean I'm forgiven and going to heaven. But it also means I can call on him in a crisis and he'll deliver me. I can call on when I'm sick and he'll heal me. Because he is the Savior. He is the sozoer. If that be a word, I don't know. But it says, 21st verse, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well, whole, or healed. Depending on your translation there. And it's the same Greek word, sozo. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well, sozo. Same word. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now think about it. Did that woman get born again? No, that wasn't what the context of it. What was Jesus saying to her? She was healed. Oh, the whole context of it was very plain. She was made well. She was made whole. Same word, sozo. Same word. Because she believed, obviously. I mean, she had to say the right thing to herself, and she had to come to Jesus in faith. Amen? And it's interesting. We're looking for a touch from God. He's looking for a touch from us.
Amen.
If God will just touch me. Well, no, if you'll just touch him. He's touchable. He's reachable. Amen. Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Just word study. Everybody say word study.
Word
study. Come on, you're going to be Greek scholars the time we leave here. You just go out of here sozoing all over the place. No, the point is I want to encourage you to call on him in your time of need. And not limit him to just forgiveness of sin. See, we've often done that. The church has been guilty of that. We've been guilty of just limiting Jesus to eternal life, limiting him to just forgiveness of sins, limiting him to just a ticket to heaven. And that's not, he's more than that. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And you cannot walk with Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and separate healing, miracles, signs, and wonders from his ministry. It was part and parcel with everything that he did. I mean, he didn't just forgive people. He didn't just get people to follow him and change their lifestyle. He healed, he delivered, he cast out devils, he raised the dead. Hallelujah. And you know what? He hadn't changed.
That's right.
He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. I am the Lord God, I change not. Malachi 3:6. See, God hadn't stopped doing that. We just stopped believing. Actually, if we do what these people did, we'll get what they got. Because he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love that woman more than he loves you. He didn't love anybody in the Bible any more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. He is no respecter of persons. And the reason we have the Bible to start with is so we know how to act and how to react, how to interact with Jesus. So we get the result that they got. This is like a manual for living. Got a problem? Let's see if we can find somewhere in the Bible where it talks about that. What did they do? They got answers. Let's do what they did. Hello? Good stuff. Amen? Okay. Matthew 14. Found it? Matthew 14 chapter. This is where Peter was walking on the water. You know the story. Jesus appeared to him at night. They were tossed, turned in the sea out there. And they thought they saw a ghost. And, you know, and he would have passed them by. And he said, be not afraid, it's I. And Peter said, hey, you know, if it's you, bid me come. Walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he began to walk on the water. Everybody talks about Peter sinking, but he did walk. And, you know, of course, I always like to say I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. The rest of them didn't even try. They didn't even step out, you know. Now, they stayed dry, but they never had the experience of standing on that water, man. Ooh, wow. Well, that was awesome. I mean, Peter was impulsive, to say the least. I mean, you can see that throughout his life. But you know what? He wanted what Jesus had. He wanted it. He was passionate about God and the things of God. And in this case, you know, Jesus said, well, come on out here. You know, if he was in Texas today, he'd say, come on, boy, get on out in the water, you know. Let's ride this wave. Saddle up. So Peter did. He walked on the water, 29th verse. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. Man, amazing story. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. This story always fascinates me when I read it. And beginning to sink, he cried out and saying, Lord, save me. Save me. So. Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about, Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, lead me in a sinner's prayer. He was saying, Lord, deliver me. Protect me. Guard me here. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And you know what? Jesus saved him. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? In other words, you could have kept walking if you kept believing. You know, another thing I was fascinated, this is just a little side note, and I know I've shared this before, but you ever thought about this? Peter's walking on the water here, and the waves are going, you know, and the wind's blowing, and he's walking around, and he looks out here, and he sees the wind, you know, and the waves and everything, and he's thinking, man, this, I can't do this. The wind's blowing. Now, let's think about this a minute. Let's suppose the water was crystal clear, flat like glass in the early morning, no waves, just looked like a table going across there. Do you think it'd been any easier to walk on the water then? Do you think the wind had anything to do with him walking or not on water? You see, walking on water is impossible no matter what's going on. Hello. But see, in our mind, this is kind of the way we live our lives, really. Everything's going fine. We're not calling on God. We're not believing God. We're trusting God. We're just kind of, it's okay. It's okay. We're okay. We're okay. But something tragic happens. All of a sudden, we get afraid and we start to fall and go under.
Right.
And what we didn't realize, the only reason we were ever standing, even when nothing was going on, was without the hand of God and the help of God, the grace of God. So circumstances don't have anything to do whether you go under or not. It's whether you believe God or not. Y'all think about it now. Come on. Think about it. Because here we are. All of a sudden, we don't think we can make it now because we've got all this crisis. Like, we can make it as long as there's no crisis. Listen, you can't make it one day whether there's crisis or not without the help of God, without the hand of God. You wouldn't have got up in the morning. Now, this is no step for a stepper. This crisis is nothing to God. Nothing but a tater. You ever heard that one? It's nothing. God can do it. Nothing's too hard for God. Well, I could believe him before because it wasn't anything going on, but now all this is going on, I don't know if I can trust him. What? See, he was trusting God for a while, but he saw the wind. Oh, boy, this is too tough now. Blah, 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 blah. He starts going under, you know. Lord, save me. I don't care how bad it gets. God can save you. I don't care how much the wind blows, how big the waves are, how bad the devil is. God can help you, and he can save you, and he can deliver you, he can protect you, he can heal you if you call on him. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go over to Mark 5th chapter. Just hit a couple of verses there. We taught that. I'm skipping around because there is no way we could go over every verse and the New Testament had that word sozo in it. We'd be here for days. I mean, it's just, you ought to do a study on that. I mean, it's just several pages. I just had them typed out like in the computer, and it was several pages of scriptures. New Testament had the word sozo in it. So I've just picked out some. You know, we're just kind of perusing through the scriptures. We're just getting sweet out of that gum. We're spitting it right out. Mark 5, you know the instance where the one that issued blood was healed. We just went over all that. In fact, Matthew 9 talked about it. It says the same thing in the 27th verse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, and we found that from Matthew, she said to herself. I thought that was interesting. See, that's why you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because sometimes you get a little detail in one account that you don't get in the other account. And you put them all together, you get a fuller picture of what's going on. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Sozo. It probably says hold in King James for you. May says heal. May say heal. The 34th verse, Jesus repeated back to her. I'm just telling you this repetitively because to make this point. Jesus said the very same thing in Matthew, said the very same thing in Mark. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Sozo. Now, look at the 6th chapter. Mark 6th chapter. Let's look at some multitudes that were healed. Man. Y'all getting something out of this? Make it personal. Make it very personal. Take it very personally. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I know Jesus will save you. Amen? He will save you. You need healing? He'll heal you. He'll save you. You need protection? He'll save you. He'll protect you. You got need a financial breakthrough? He'll save you. He'll do that. Because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. You got to get your faith and your trust in Him. I don't know how. Forget the how. Just believe. The how gets you in trouble anyway. You try to figure all that out. You can't figure all that out. How's God going to do this? You know, we got about three ways God can make this happen in our mind, our little pea brain. You know, we're so wise. We've been around so long. Of course, He made everything. He's been around forever. But we're smarter than He is. And so we don't go to God and ask Him to do something for us. We ask Him to do it a certain way.
That's right.
Isn't that right? We don't say, Lord, meet this need. We say, Lord, I need you to do this and that.
Amen.
Hello.
Right.
You don't need Him to do anything but meet the need. Let Him meet the need the way He wants to meet it. That's what's so fun about this thing is seeing how God does it. And that's where our frustration and pain comes from, because we limit God to a certain way, or this way or that way, one way or two ways, and it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen, and all of a sudden we lose our faith in God because it just can't happen. Maybe it's financial. We wear the grass out between the front door and the mailbox. It doesn't come in the mail, and so it's over. You know, the check didn't come. Well, God may not want to do it that way. Maybe He wants to do it some other way. Maybe you need money for a car. Maybe He wants to give you a car. Maybe He wants to send somebody by your house with it. Or somebody buy you one, or what? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you just believe Him for whatever it is that you need, and don't tell Him how to do it and put deadlines on Him and all that. Are you out there? Okay. So here we see a multitude coming to Jesus. 54th verse says, 6th chapter Mark 54. And when they came out of the boat, Jesus in a boat a lot. He, you know, rode around the boat a lot. Immediately the people recognized Him, ran through that whole region or surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard He was. That's fascinating too. You see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see a movement of people getting to Jesus. Oh, I love reading the Gospels because you see Jesus going to all these different people. Well, no, not really. What you see is all these different people going to Jesus. Hello. Well, I see Him going to all those different people. I wish He'd come by my house. I want you to go to His house.
Amen.
I wish He'd come touch me. Well, why don't you touch Him? I wish He'd call my name. Why don't you call His name? Hello. What you see in the Bible over and over and over is people reaching out. Jairus came to Jesus, fell at His feet, besought Him, said, my daughter lies at home sick. Come lay your hands on her and she'll live. While He's on His way, the woman with issue of blood comes up behind, grabs His garment. She's not going to be denied. In the 2nd chapter of Mark, you find the man sick of the palsy had 4 buddies. Good buddies. Great friends. Kind of friends we all need. Took him to the meeting, couldn't get in the house because it was so crowded. They climbed up on the roof and took the roof off and let him down through the roof. That's faith.
Amen.
In fact, that's what Jesus said. The Bible says, Jesus, seeing their faith, they were determined to get to Him. That's a movement of people passionately trying to get to Jesus. We give up too quick. We quit. We throw the towel in. See, when you hear about this Jesus, you ought to run to Jesus. Amen? Run to Him. And that's what they did. They ran. 55th verse. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard He was. They took people and brought them with them. Wherever He entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just... Whoa, listen to this. Begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. They were saying, let me touch you. And we're saying, God, just, you know, whenever you're ready, just come touch me. Whenever you get ready, here I am. No, come on now. We got to reach out. We got to touch him. And as many as touched him. Notice he didn't say as many as he touched. Of course he can touch, and I know his touch is a healing touch, but see, he's looking from a touch. For a touch from you. As many as has touched him were made well, whole, healed, sozo. Wow. You know, if I can get Jesus, I can get saved. I know that. I can get forgiven. I can get saved. I can go to heaven. I can become a Christian. But so if I can get to Jesus, I can get sozoed. I can get healed. And all I got to do is get to Jesus. I don't know about everything else, but if I can just get to him, I can get my healing. If I can just get to him, I can get my peace that I need. All this stuff that's going on, if I can just get to him, I can get my joy, I can get my peace because it's in him. It's not in all this other stuff, it's in him. And what I got to do is get to him. I need to call on him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Woo! 10th chapter. Stay with me. Chapter 10. Now see, this is a tremendous sermon on the fact that God's still in the healing business today. I mean, if you say he doesn't heal anymore, then are you telling me he doesn't forgive anymore? He doesn't save anymore?
That's right.
I mean, you can't use Romans 10:9 and say all he does is forgive sins, because that word is the same word translated in these verses. Amen? So, if whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, sozo. If that means anything, it does mean we can go to heaven, right? If it means anything, surely it means that I can be forgiven and be born again and become a Christian. Who would deny that? What church would deny that? Jesus is still in that business, isn't he? But that word means more than just that. Because in all these other verses, it's translated healed and delivered and set free and woohoo. So he must still be doing the same thing. Amen. 10th chapter, Mark. This is and we always refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. I'm trying to retrain myself to say this differently, because he was blind, but he got healed. It's seeing Bartimaeus. He was known as blind Bartimaeus because it says that in the 46th verse. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. But see, that's what he was before he got to Jesus. Because he began to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Another teaching all in itself. Healing is an act of mercy. Amen? What do you want? What did he want? Specifically, what do you think he wanted? His eyesight. What do you call it? Mercy. Well, does his mercy endure forever? Is his mercy from everlasting to everlasting? Okay. Well, if healing is an act of mercy, then healing must still be around, because mercy endures forever. Right? Okay. So anyway, you know, you read the story, it'd do you some good. Don't have time to get into all that. But he went and followed him in the house and so on and so forth. And 51st verse, Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which is teacher, that I may receive my sight. That's what he wanted. I like that. Jesus wanted to be specific. What is it that you want me to do? Like Jesus didn't know. You know Jesus knew. Jesus knows what you want. But he needs you to ask him. Because Jesus didn't say, the Bible doesn't say, whosoever God chooses to save, he will save. It says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, although he knows what you need to call. You need to ask. Amen? So it says this, 52nd verse, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Sozo. What do you think he got? Well, the rest of the verse says, immediately received a sight. So when he said, your faith has made you well, what was he talking about? Healing. In this case, probably a miracle. You know? That is so good. And I mean, you look through the scripture and you see these miracles and these healings, and you know what they are? They're just restorations is all they are. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, I can walk with my legs. How about you? I can see with my eyes. How about you? We often miss the miracle of that because we do it every day. But when someone's blind, all of a sudden God touches them and their eyes pop open and they see, we go, whoo, man, there's a miracle. And rightly so, it is a miracle. But you know, seeing's a miracle every day. And when a cripple all of a sudden gets touched by the power of God and they begin to walk, wow, we go, man, that's a miracle. But see, all it was really was a restoration. Isn't that right? And that's what healings do. That's what miracles do. I mean, it's not fairy tales. We're not turning pumpkins into coaches here. And rats into coachmen. I mean, those aren't the kind of miracles God does. If you follow Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were miracles of restoration and multiplication. He made much fish out of few fish, much bread out of a little bread. He didn't make bread out of rocks, made bread out of bread. Made fish out of fish. He didn't give a guy five legs. Three eyes, you know. Hello. It all had the scent, the aroma, the mark of the Creator. These are not fairy tales. Think about it. And listen, your legs are made to walk with. And your eyes are made to see with. Amen. And so something goes wrong there. You crawl on God. He'll save you. He'll restore you. He'll heal you. He'll put you back right. That's what He does. Amen. Okay, real quickly, Luke 8 chapter. Y'all getting something out of this? I'm throwing all kinds of nuggets in here, even though we're not teaching on some of these things specifically, but they just come out. Here's a case in the 8th chapter of Luke of a man that was demon possessed, and he had so many demons in him, they said his name was Legion. You know, because there's so many. And it's interesting, too. You know, a lot of people that get into deliverance services where they call out the demons' names and so on and so forth, and they look them in the eye and say, what's the name? What's your name? What's your name? Listen, you don't have to know the name of a demon. All you got to do is know the name of Jesus. I've cast out devils before out of people. It's pretty obvious when someone's demon-possessed, too, okay? You don't have a fingernail-biting demon. Don't stay with me. I mean, everything's got a demon. No, the Bible's very plain. People demon-possessed. They screamed out. They hollered. They threw themselves in the fire. They cut themselves. They talk in weird voices. Okay, so a lot of stuff we say are demons is really not demons. I've seen guys that were just mad and angry, and you hit them a couple times, and you knock that demon right out of them. They weren't demon-possessed. Hello. Most stuff's just sin. When someone's demon-possessed, it's obvious, it's true, it's there, we know it's there. But even in this case, you say, well, he asked his name. Yeah, but he didn't even tell him his name back. He said, we're legion, we're many. He didn't find out what the individual names were. In all the other cases, Jesus cast the devil out and just said, come out. Right. One case had a deaf spirit, one had a dumb spirit. He just said, come out. He didn't say, deaf spirit, come out, dumb spirit, come out. In Acts 16 chapter, Paul cast out a spirit of divination in a young slave girl. At Philippi, and he didn't say spirit of divination come out. It just says she had a spirit of divination. It says she turned to the spirit and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And she came out. Okay, so here, this man was demon possessed. Jesus cast the devil out of him. 35th verse. Then they went out to see what had happened. The city had come out, saw what would happen, but this man had been delivered. These demons all ran into the pigs, incidentally. They were bootlegging pigs in there. Those Jews weren't supposed to eat them pigs. Come on, that's what they were doing. They had all those pigs. I used to wonder, well, what's the deal here? Why they throw those casting demons in the pigs, kill all them pigs? And poor pigs, they didn't do nothing. What's the deal? But they were Jews, and they were supposed to be eating pork under the Old Testament law. Now, you can eat it, but I'm saying Old Testament law. So the demons went in there and... Oh, okay. Something to think about. But anyway. Bunch of pig bootleggers. 35th verse. They went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found a man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I love that. You get saved, you'll put your clothes on too.
That's right.
And you... quit now, quit. And you'll get in your right mind too. Okay? 36th verse. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed or delivered or so-and-so. Same word. So now that word means deliverance.
Yes, that's right.
That's a broad word, isn't it? I mean, it's a rich, rich word. Man, I can call on Jesus to be delivered. I can call on him to be healed. I can call on him to be saved. I can call on him. I mean, I can be protected. Woo, hallelujah. What is it that you need? You sing that old song. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You remember that song? Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. And then he'd go on down and says, well, go ahead and call him up. This one guy used to get up, we'd sing that song. He'd go ahead and call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. He'd go through the whole thing, you know. And he said, if you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost. Tell him what you want. Go ahead, call him up. Okay, that's enough. I can see y'all didn't get it. Y'all enjoying my concert here, but anyway. You call, you'll get all that's entailed in that name. You'll get whatever he does and whatever it is that you need. He's got an answer for it, amen? Two more verses. Acts 14. Hallelujah. Acts 14 chapter. Here's Paul preaching in Galatia, the region of Galatia. I think he's in Iconium here. No, left Iconium, gone to Lystra. Okay, he was in Lystra. Eighth verse. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Okay, this would be a miracle of healing. Not just a healing, a miracle of healing, because he never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Is that what your Bible says? Faith to be healed. Faith to be healed. Anybody take a guess at that word healed? Just a guess what it might be? Y'all are so smart. Goodness gracious, that's what it is. It's so-and-so. So he had faith to be healed. Had faith to be what? Faith to be healed. Now, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a new covenant. This is church time here now. This is saved. This is actually years after the resurrection. This is Paul preaching. And healing is still going on when people believe, when people have faith. Because why is that? Because that's sozo. That's what sozo is. It's all that stuff. It's healing, it's deliverance, it's salvation, it's all that stuff. And if you have faith, you can be sozoed. observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Ooh, hallelujah. Man, that was exciting, wasn't it? Wish I'd have been there. Ooh. But I've seen some miracles since, and I'm going to see some more. Okay, last one. James 5. And listen, if you got a concordance, you can look up the word. If you got a Greek concordance, you can look. If you got a Strong's concordance, you know, you can look up the scripture with one of these words in it. It'll tell you, you know, what that word is, sozo. You ought to do a study on this. It's just fascinating. James 5th chapter. This is an admonition to us, the church. I quote this often when we're praying for the sick. This is definitely New Covenant, New Testament. This is for the church. This is to us. James 5th chapter. Notice what it says in the 14th verse. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Is any what? Sick. Is any in sin? No, it says any sick. Is any unbelievers? Well, no, he's not talking about unbelievers. He just said, is any sick? He's not talking about being forgiven. He's not talking about getting saved in that sense. He's talking about sick people, right? Okay. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And if you back it up, what'd they do? They anointed them with oil in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Not just healed, I mean, not just forgiven, but healed also. Not just saved going to heaven, but healed. Here, specifically, no question, he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Shall sozo the sick. Oh, man, isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So if you ever been saved by calling on the name of the Lord, and I know you have because we all quoted that verse when I started this message. Isn't that right? Then I challenge you to call on him when sickness comes. Let him save you from that. I don't just challenge you. The Bible tells you to do that. Amen. It says, and the prayer of faith shall sozo the sick, shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Travis is case in point on that one. Amen. And any number of people we could have testify here tonight been healed. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. That was a side thing. That wasn't even the main point. But if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. But the point he's making here is he can be healed of disease and sickness. And if he's committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Confess your faults or trespasses one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah, somebody.